The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. We were gonna have Jamie Blumenthal, president of Retirement Strategies and Solutions, into the studio. They had a major event take place. They were not able to make it, so send your prayers towards Jamie and Nancy. They're somebody that they are trying to help and take care of. But what we are going to do is talk about a story in the Bible that has many lessons, but we're going to examine the lesson of personal frustration getting in the way of reaching our desired haven. And also, how much does Jesus represent God the Father? Is a picture of Jesus in action a picture of God?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. I heard there was a big rally in Dallas yesterday. Looked enormous. Personal revelation, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. How much more? I don't know. Just a lot. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation. Why? Because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. That's all it is. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, I want to get to the exciting material that you might not be aware of. Today, for those that do not know, the big holiday today. Ready? I don't know if you know that. Do you know this?
I don't know.
Okay. It's No Beard Day.
Oh, I'm in.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that. I have a little beard. So how's that going to work? Okay, I don't know how that's going to work. I'm not too happy about that. I'm not getting rid of my beard. You should see my son's beard. It's the size of my head. I mean, he's got one of those, you know, big, I come from Alaska kind of beards.
Right.
Yeah, but he doesn't come from Alaska. He comes from Phoenix. I'm just saying. He was born at the Phoenix Hospital. I'm just saying. But it's funny that he has a beard that's like Alaska, because today is also Alaska Day.
All right.
See how I did that? March 30th, 1867, the United States purchased Alaska, by the way, from Russia. Do you know how much they paid for it?
I don't know.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Who would know this? $7.2 million in 1876.
What a deal.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's a pretty good deal, because now with all the oil and all the land and all the, that's pretty good. I mean, Alaska, that's big. I mean, Texas is big, but Alaska is big. Of course, there's a lot of snow there.
Yes.
So,
and bears.
Yeah, and bears. Snows and bears. I don't know. Not my highest element. Okay, folks, so we were going to go into the one phase. We're going to do it completely different. Why? Because we can, because it's live radio and we love to. So let's at least give Jamie the acknowledgement, because he is one of our sponsors. So this segment is brought to you by Jamie Blumenthal. Jamie and Nancy Blumenthal, they are the presidents of Retirement Strategies and Solutions. 800-287-1667, 800-287-1667, 1667. They have the website Retire the Right Way. I was on there, and you know they have all of the recordings from the radio show on the website now. So it looks really nice. It's really slick. Looks great. RetireTheRightWay.com. That is their website. Plan right. right, retire right, retire the right way. One of the things that Jamie's committed to is giving people advice on how to keep their money safe. And so what we're going to do is rearrange, try and get him into next week, next Friday, have him here. The bottom line is he will do a free financial checkup, no cost, no obligation, no required commitment. And if you're comfortable, you move forward. And if not, you don't, and that's it. Okay? Just keeping it that easy. You do as no matter what in all things, including listening to this show or any preacher or any teacher, you make sure that you are operating in discernment because that is your requirement. God's not going to say, you know, what about this? And you're not going to go, well, I heard on the radio. Did they get you nut? That ain't going to work. You're going to have to give God an accounting, and that's an important element of what we do. Okay? Okay. All right?
All right.
All right. We're going to get right into the heart of teaching. Now, what we are going to figure out or what we are going to talk about is kind of what I want to call a different angle on a very classic story. I want to talk about the children of Israel in the desert. We'll do trivia in the next segment. But in the desert, you got the children of Israel, right? So if you will remember, the children of Israel were in bondage for 400 years, something that God told Abraham that was going to happen. By the way, he told Abraham in Genesis 15 and 16, you're going to have people, they're going to be in bondage for years. I mean, there was no surprise. There was nothing that caught anybody by surprise. That was all prophesied all the way through. While they're in the bondage in Egypt, they come to deliverance through Moses after a failed initial attempt. Moses goes back after 40 years in the desert. So keep in mind, Moses is 40 years old. He's raised in the Pharaoh's household. He's educated in the wisdom and the understandings of the Egyptians, as well as probably whatever knowledge was available to him. He tries to become the deliverer for Israel. He goes in a bit early and before the Lord said, go now. And the result was one dead Egyptian and Moses taking off for the desert. Moses spends 40 years, listen to that, on the backside of a desert, doing nothing. And you think, wow, that's wild. And then when he was 80, he came back and became the deliverer of Israel. And then Israel goes with him. And we're going to talk about his encounter with Israel in that. But I do want to point something out. Moses' good ministry did not start until the last third of his life. Did you know that? Moses' good ministry did not start until the last third of his life. So everybody that tells me, oh, I'm too old or I can't do it or I'm this, you know, I'm in my 60s, I'm in my 70s, it's like baloney. God can use anyone anytime if they will simply present themselves. Remember, that's one of the things that we taught them. In fact, I think we even have some music, I think, that we put together for the present yourself mindset. Did we have music that we created for that? The present yourself? Wasn't the hallelujah, but it was either a Steve Martin-y thing or something. We came up with something.
Wow! All I can say is wow!
Yeah, that one. What's that for? That's to remind you that a 10-second prayer can change your life just simply by saying when you wake up, Lord, I present myself. Ready? Lord, I present myself. Use me in Jesus' name. 10 seconds. You do that every day, your life has changed. And my response to that is, wow. That's why we have that. Sorry.
It's spoon speak.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I know.
I'm all mixed up. I need a vacation. Anyway, so the point is, present yourself. Do we have another one that's got do we have any other song? Probably not. I didn't come up with one. All right. That's the spoon speak. Yeah, you're right. Okay, let's go back to Moses. So Moses, what he does is he comes back in, he leads the children of Israel out. Listen to what verse 7 and 8 says in Numbers chapter 20. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, take the rod and your brother Aaron, assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield its water, thus bring forth water for them out of the rock, and let the congregation and their beasts drink. What is it that God said to Moses? Moses was, dealing with children of Israel. They were doing a lot of complaining. They were complaining again and again and again. You know, like when you're telling your kids to clean the room, or when you're telling God how he's not doing things really great, a little bit more like that one. So he was supposed to speak to the rock. In verse 9 through 11, it says, "So Moses took the rod from before the Lord just as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock. And he said to them, 'Listen now, you rebels. So we shall bring forth water for you out of this rock.' And then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. And water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank." I want you to stop and consider what's gone on. Moses jumped in ministry early. God put him on the backside of a desert. The Lord brought him back over into ministry. He's walking the children of Israel through the desert, right? They're going out of Egypt. They've gone through the sea. They've seen miracles. God has given them graciousness. Now they're children of Israel complaining again and again and again and again. A lot of complaining, right? God tells Moses, "Speak to the rock before them." Moses is so frustrated with the children of Israel, so frustrated with the people he's dealing with, he smacks the rock with the rod. He hit the rock twice. He struck it twice. So God said, "Speak to it," okay? And then Moses goes over and he goes, bam, bam, and hits the rock. The water still comes out, and that part's cool. Because the water's gushing out, that's a good thing. The people are drinking. They were thirsty. They're being satisfied. They're taking care of their beasts, right? They're taking care of their cattle. But Moses didn't do what the Lord said. Now, I want to give you a couple of things here because we're going to do the other half of this when we come back. But I want you to hear what I'm going to say. Moses's gifts from God were enormous. He spent time, so much time with God, so close to God, his face had to have a veil over it. So for Moses to breach the commandment was really, really far bad because he was so near the Lord. The Lord's reflection shone off of his skin and off of his face. Oh, my goodness, right? He's so close. So when he disobeyed God, God was very, very upset. We're going to come back and examine what happened because he did that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, Johnny.
How's retirement?
Well, I have to be at work at 7:30 in the morning.
Whoa, Frank. I thought you were retired.
Yeah, well, I didn't do a good job keeping my money safe, and when the market dropped, I lost half my money, so I had to go back to work.
So now what?
Well, you can have fries with that.
No, Frank, that's not what I mean. People have problems all the time. They make mistakes, but what are you going to do about it now?
Who's
going to
help me in my position? My finances are a mess.
You need my guy. Contact Jamie Blumenthal from Retirement Strategies and Solutions. He and his wife Nancy have helped over 600 clients just in the Dallas area. If he can help you, he'll let you know, and he won't charge anything for you to find out.
How do I get a hold of him?
Go to his website, retiretherightway.com. That's retiretherightway.com. You can also call him at 800-287-1667.
Thanks, Johnny.
No problem, Frank. Remember, plan right, retire right, retire the right way, my friend. Get in touch with Jamie today.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressman's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay. Makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions. Will not change them. Father won't change him. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM. On Christ
the solid rock. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach the show, David Spoon Media at gmail.com. Also, the website, davidspoonmedia.com. So you just don't add the Gmail part. So you are welcome to reach out to us. You're welcome to contact, do whatever. Couple things I want to do. First, we do want to give acknowledgement to Clint and Mr. Restore.
Come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services in the entire Texas area, MrRestore.com. If you're looking for somebody that can help you because you have damage and you're looking for the quality. Remember when Clint was on here, he talked about the quality. Besides talking about some of the adaptive training group, besides that they support the Adaptive Training Foundation, which is linked on our website, these guys are committed to making your experience of disaster not so bad. What a ministry if you're involved in trying to help people recover. I mean, the recovery ministries to me are huge. Family-owned and operated, 50 years of restoration experience, thousands of happy customers working with all insurance companies. Keep it easy, MrRestore.com. MrRestore.com. 877-631-7576. 877-631-7576. So we were talking about Moses and talking about 40 years early, 40 years on the backside doing nothing but watching sheep, then 40 years leading the children of Israel out. And then Wonder Julie asked me a question, and I'd like to repeat it because it bears repeating because we all understand it. So what was the question? What was the answer?
I said the reason Moses wandered for 40 years was because even back then, men wouldn't stop and ask for directions.
How true that is. That is so true. Okay. Now, you guys might be having a cure. That is hilarious. In fact, my mom, just so you can know, being born and raised Jewish, used to say in our household when they were doing Passover, and then after Passover, we call it Pesach, and when Pesach was over, she would say, you know, if Mo had turned left instead of right, the Jewish people would have had the oil. That's funny, too. You got to be able to laugh, people. It's Friday. You got to be able to laugh. That's very funny. Thank you.
He didn't ask for directions.
And then I just told her when she had originally told me that over the break. That sounds like me and my wife. Where is it? I know it's here. Where is it? I know it's coming up. Where is it? Right after this state line.
You're lost.
I think you missed it. Oh, that's classic. All right, so let's go back to this. I want to talk about this thing with Moses, and I want you to understand what's going on. And I don't want you to get upset or uptight or whatever the case may be. And so some people are out there going, well, you know, it was this, or technically it was this, it was this. You know, there's a scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that talks about people that get caught up on words so much so that they can't follow process. Listen, it's really quite forward if we catch it. For 40 years, Moses had a wonderful upbringing. He knew that the Lord had called him. He just jumped early. That's it. And in jumping early, it caused a disaster. So the Lord, in his infinite mercy, he put him on the backside of a desert watching sheep. And then when the Lord thought, okay, he's ready, and when he was 80 years old, he brought him back in. And then Mo started coordinating, directing the children of Israel. That's fantastic. Okay? Now, I want you to listen to what I have to say, and you're going to hear something you've never heard before. Moses was being challenged on a regular basis from the children of Israel because they were complaining all the time. They were complaining. Okay? Moses got so frustrated with the children of Israel that instead of speaking to the rock like God commanded him to, he hit the rock out of frustration. He took his staff and he smacked it twice. Now, there have been amazing amount of sermons about talking about all the depths of this, but I think it's being missed what is on the plain surface. And what is that? Moses got so frustrated that he reacted. He took a reactionary position and he disobeyed the Lord and he did wrong. What was the result of Moses' action? The result was that God told Moses he could not go into the promised land. And you're thinking, wow, that's pretty intense. I mean, that he couldn't go in the promised land. It is pretty intense. You're right. And here's the lesson that you and I need to grasp. Personal frustration can interfere with our ministries, and personal frustration can interfere and keep us from getting to the place where God wants to bring us. Did you hear that? Personal frustration can be such a buildup in you, can get so intense in you that you may lash out, and lashing out does not get you where God is trying to bring you. Lashing out does not help you and I reach the promised land. Personal frustration built up, bent up, pent up, and then boom, it's kind of like, what's that illustration? A toothpaste, tube of toothpaste. You squeeze at the bottom. Let me tell you something. If you don't open that lid and let some of that toothpaste out, it's going to break and go everywhere. That's kind of what's going on for some people. And so my encouragement, I know it's like, wow, that's kind of a heavy-duty illustration. I'm telling you that personal frustration in your own life, unchecked, unsubmitted, unsurrendered to God, can interfere with where God is trying to bring you, and it can interfere with your ministry. That's a reality check. There's nothing bizarre or weird about that. You just can't let personal frustration drive you. When it drove Moses, it drove him right over. And the Lord was mad. You think, oh, well, God loves me. He never gets mad at me. Do you love your kids? Do you ever get mad at them? Okay, case closed. There's no discussion that goes there. Sometimes we do dumb things, and those dumb things have consequences. They won't have any impact on your eternity in the context that you are saved, if you are a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. But that doesn't mean you can't drop dumb rocks on your feet as you're making the journey and as you're going. And the idea there is that you drop those rocks and you trip over them. Whoops, whoops, whoops. My point in all of that is this. If you get to that place and you know it's building, And you know when it's building, by the way. You know when the air in that balloon is getting so big it's going to pop, right? That's the time you need to stop and separate with the Lord. You think, well, is there an example of that in Scripture? Yeah. Why don't you look at the life of Jesus Christ, who went away by himself often to pray and spend time with the Father? You think, well, Jesus, did he ever get frustrated? His frustration built with the people. He just never let it get the best of him. And yes, of course it did. Remember what he said? How long am I going to have to be with you people? I mean, that was that wasn't a polite thing in the sense of, oh, wow. It's like that. But in that communion with the Father, in that patience that you find from the Father, that's where you can possess your soul. Get it? So that's a really important point. I really want people to get that. And the reason that I want you to get that, the reason I want you to understand that, is because we don't hold each other in any kind of accountability, let alone holding ourselves in accountability of that personal frustration that gets too much and just goes nutty. And if you want me to use a direct example that will help you understand the illustration, just talk about you driving on a Dallas freeway. Right? I'm sure that every person that you pass or that passes you, you have nothing but praise to the Father for them. Even if they've come right up on your rear, flashed their lights, gone around you, and then given you the half signal for peace. Right? My point is, people deal with that all the time. But you're a Christian. You're a child of the Most High God. And we have a requirement from the Lord to do a bit better. And we should. You got the Holy Spirit living in you. We can do that. We can do better. Don't let your personal frustrations get the best. You know, I do that even here on the station. Something will happen either before the show or during the show. I've been trying to do this Facebook thing for whatever. I finally figured it out, and guess what happened? The internet's not working. And I'm like, and it's like, you know what? I got to let that go. Just, hey, you know what? Here you go. Lord, figure it out. It'll be on when it'll be on. I can't do anything better than that. But that's normal. But we have to do better than normal. We have to do Jesus-like. You see what I'm saying? I mean, the Lord is with us. We should probably walk that way like he is. You don't want to be one of those people that don't get thrown in jail when they're arresting Christians, right? All the Christians are going to jail. Oh, yeah, Dave, you don't got to go. Wait, what? You catching my drift there? All right. All right, so we're going to do some trivia when we get back, which I think is going to be totally awesome, so get ready for that. And we're going to have fun. We're going to pray over people and just ask the Lord's blessing on everything we're doing, everything you're doing, everything he's doing. Great word yesterday in Bible study. We need to align with him. Not partner with him, align with him. That was a really, really good word. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Stop that boy, don't
let him go. Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has 3 children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
An important part is to understand the Philistine rulers were political leaders. They were political leaders. They got together for a political solution. That's what happened. That's what happened. The priests got together and made a decision. Instead of trying to overcome the power of God, they thought they'd make an offering to God, return the ark to Israel. That spiritual solution worked.
Got that? So political rulers making political decisions, failure. Priests making an offering to God and returning things to their proper place, solution. That's the key, people. I think that's the key. That's what we need. That's why we need a strong spiritual core in the church. Not just you in your church, but the church in large. Trust me. Trust me when I say this. When they start shooting Christians because we're Christians, when it becomes more like China and they start beating us because we're Christians, the denominational issue will fade to the white.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach us, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and our website, davidspoonmedia.com, Facebook, David Spoon Media, YouTube, David Spoon Media. There's some Facebook Live thing going on now, but whether it lasts or not, nobody knows. We are going to ask a trivia question. You will have a chance to answer it. I do want to reiterate just real quickly that little thing I said at the very end. I was in a Bible study group. It's actually like a family life group. We were in there, and at the church that we're attending right now, they're doing a study on Abraham. I love Abe, so for me, you know, anything Abe is cool. And one of the things that one of the people said, which was really a wiser statement than most people know, is she had made reference to when evangelists preach and they do altar calls and they talk about people now partnering with God. And she said that's a great audacity. There's audacity in that because really we're just aligning with God, which is like that's really – it's his plan. It's his stuff. It's his kingdom. We're part of that process. Really well said. I thought that was really kind of cool. Okay, let's do a trivia question. I don't know how people, how comfortable you're feeling with this. This is one of the questions. I ask you these questions. I ask you not to go on Google to get the answer because that's not fun. You can go in your Bible to look for them. That's cool. If you know it, you can just call, whatever the case may be. Here is the question. And I could use a book, and I do have a book of trivia, which has like 8,000 trivia questions, but I often just write them myself. Here it is. When John saw Jesus for the first time in the book of Revelation, when John saw Jesus for the first time in the book of Revelation, what color was Jesus's hair? Ha ha! I bet you haven't heard that question too often. What color was Jesus's hair the first time John saw him in the book of Revelation? 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. What's that? You got to think about that. Again, don't Google. You can look in Revelation if you want, but you don't go. Just look it up. It's really quite a fascinating thing. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 41 says the following. Then a man with a serious skin disease came to Jesus on his knees and begged him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. "I am willing," he told him. "Be made clean." All right, take our call here, and then we'll get back to the teaching. Here we go. Who am I talking to?
This is Jerry.
Hey, Jerry. How are you, sir?
Just came out of the hospital with one less gallbladder.
You just got out of the hospital?
Yeah. I'm recuperating.
All right, brother. Listen, you got to let me pray with you after you answer this question, okay?
I appreciate it.
All right, you got that. All right, so now what I want to ask you this question. So what color was Jesus' hair the first time that John saw him in the book of Revelation?
I remember it as white as wool.
It's white as wool. You are correct, sir. And I don't think a lot of people think about that. It's like Jesus' hair was white. And people are like, what? It's like, no, he had white hair. You got to think about that, right? It's like, that's not the picture that everybody kind of puts in their mind about Jesus. Most of them are the European-style paintings. It's like, no, he had white hair when John saw him in Revelation. Hey, Jerry, let me pray with you. Is that all right? Because I just want to ask the Lord to help you recover. Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, and we ask that you would just touch our brother and that you would bring healing into his body. He was in the hospital. I just pray that he would have a great sense of comfort. There are thousands of people that are aware of Jerry going to the hospital. Now he's out, and we're just asking in the name of Jesus that you would put comfort into his heart through the Holy Spirit, through fellowship, through just the truth of your word and the commitment you've made to him. And we ask you just to raise him up and bring healing into his life and let that recuperation take place in a swift manner. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you. You're so great. You're such a great archer of the word. And you're awesome. Again, I wish you were my pastor.
God bless you, brother. I mean, we're doing it together in the kingdom of God. Brothers in the Lord, right?
Amen. Thank you.
Amen, brother. God bless you. I'll keep you in my prayers, too. So that's everybody should be listening. Be praying for Jerry. He was in the hospital. Listen, if you were in the hospital, you got out, you want people praying for you. So that's an important part of things to do. That's a part of our Christian walk, that we laugh together, we cry together, we praise together, we hurt together. Well, I'm bummed that he was in the hospital. That's a drag. You know, I mean, it doesn't sound like he went there to get food.
No, they took his gallbladder, he said.
That's terrible. Right. He didn't go there to get food. What kind of Christian radio host says that?
I don't know.
All right, let's go back to this. Let's go back to this leper process. All right, so Jesus, if you will now watch this. Now look, Mark chapter 1, Jesus does this healing on the leper. Matthew chapter 8, Jesus does this healing on a leper. Okay, so you're getting this, right? Okay, here's what I want you to catch. I'm going to take it a little direction, different direction, so I'd like to. It says that Jesus was moved with compassion. So here's something I want you to be aware of. Bringing our disease, our discomfort, our discouragement to Jesus is a absolute smart thing. Okay? There's a cartoon on ages ago that used to do this thing. They'd say something and they'd go, smart, 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 smart. And then when somebody would do something dumb, they would go, dumb, 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 dumb. It's just like, look, it is a no-brainer, so to speak, to bring your disease, bring your comfort, bring your discouragement, bring these troubled times, bring them to the Lord. And I want you to catch something about Jesus, and there's two really, maybe three Leviticus elements here that are just enormous. First of all, it says when the guy said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus said, I'm willing. Jesus was moved with compassion, and Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. Number one, you're not allowed to touch a leper. Okay? Jesus broke the law. Too bad. Here's, you think, what? Well, no, you can't just say too bad. No. When the child of the Most High God is in need and urgency, it supersedes stuff. It's just that you have a moral law, you have a civil law, and you have a ceremonial law. Jesus wiped out the ceremonial law. Okay, by being the sacrifice, the moral law stays intact. It doesn't change, and the civil law adapts and grows, but never breaches the word of God. So when civil law breaches the word of God, the moral law, it's wrong. Okay, so that's the answer. Well, that's a wrong law. It's a bad idea. And yes, you can legislate morality. That's why it says do not murder and do not steal. Those are all legislative elements, right, that come from a morality of law. So when people say that, just go whatever, you know. Here's what I want you to catch, though. Jesus touched the leper. Yeah, you're not supposed to do that. Jesus is God. You think, well, Dave, he's representing God. No. Let me help you. Please. And I say that with all arrogance. Hebrews 1:3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he provided purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. What level of representation is Jesus? The exact representation of his being. And then somebody's going to say, are you trying to tell me that in Jesus, it's all wrapped up there and God can be seen in Jesus? I'm not trying to tell you anything. But if you will read Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, for in Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead lives in bodily form. Here's another translation. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. Here's another translation. For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Here's another translation. For in him, all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. Here's another translation. God lives fully in Christ. So when we're talking about Jesus, are you talking about God? Yes. This is why the Christians do not worship the same God as the Muslims. Sorry. They don't believe in a Son, and they don't believe in a Holy Spirit. Sorry. I didn't make it up. I didn't write this stuff. They did. Well, they wrote their stuff. God wrote our stuff. See, there's a big good Jewish joke there. You guys worship God your way, we'll worship God his way.
See that? That's a good Jewish joke if you didn't catch that.
So here's the bottom line. Look at how Jesus responds to this guy and recognize that Jesus is the exact representation of God's being. Take note of how God feels towards our trouble. Did you hear that line? Take note of how God feels about our trouble. You think, well, the Lord doesn't have feelings. Okay, you know, really. Eat tacos. Do something. Of course he's aware of our feelings. Of course he has feelings. He loves us. He sacrifices for us. He grieves over us. Of course. And he gets angry with us. But loves us enough to spend eternity with us. That does not apply to everybody, does it? Because some will reject. So let me give you an idea of a personal illustration. I think we got like a minute. What do we got, a minute and a half? Oh, 3 minutes. Okay. Got to stay on top of this. I forgot. I got lost. Poor Wonder Julie's got to carry me the whole show. That's what's going on today. I had a financial situation a while back, and I had a bill. It was $1,800. Guess what I don't have? $1,800. Guess what I don't have? $18, let alone $1,800. But somehow, by the grace of God, after prayer, literally after prayer, the people that I was owed the bill that came back, and they took that bill from $1,800, made it $1,000. You think, well, a real miracle would have been to wipe it out. Well, to me, it was a pretty good miracle to go from $1,800 to $1,000 based on prayer. So I'm okay with that. I think that's fantastic. And then the Lord provided the money. And it's like, okay. See, but it's like, well, that's not how I would have done it. I would have given me the lottery. Okay. But that's not how God does stuff. That's how we do stuff. And what I want you to get, now I got to exit, is Jesus is that perfect picture of God the Father. You want to know how God feels about you? Read Mark chapter 1. And you'll know. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water damage, call Mr. Restore.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here
Absolutely.
In the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I get a kick out of that Lee Strobel interview. It's just really, it's only bits and pieces, but it was one of those, you know, great interviews and had a lot of fun. And then sometimes we'll do interviews, just so you know. So we record before what you hear. So, like, there'll be a little bit of talking, and then you'll do the interview, and then we record after. Until the whole thing's done. It's called the raw recording. So the raw recording starts as soon as they get on the phone and then finishes when they're off the phone. And then, you know, there's an intro and then there's an exit and so on and so forth. Some of the coolest stuff is in the raw stuff. But you can't, you know, that's not the stuff that's your permission to talk about. But Lee Strobel, great, 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 great interview, great guy. All right, let me get into this next thing. You're going to think I've lost it. And maybe I have. To some degree, I think many Christians go through wonderful times of refreshing from the Lord, and then you'll go through what I would call wilderness times. It does seem like there's the in-betweens, and then the mountaintops, and then the mountain, the valleys below in underneath. And so you have to keep in mind that when you walk up a mountain, you use a certain set of leg muscles, and you walk down a mountain, you use actually different muscles are concentrated on when you're walking down. And so going up, going down, having the top of the mountain and then being at the bottom, that's all normal. There's nothing weird or unique. You're not a bad Christian because there's up and down. You're not, I should be just smiling all the time. And no, you shouldn't. You should only be smiling all the time if you're on some kind of drug that makes you smile all the time. Okay, because it's like that's not the way it goes. And the only drug that Christians should be on by and large, now I'm not saying all medicine's bad by any means, but by and large, the medicine that most Christians should be on is Goss pills.
Gospels. Gospel. The idea is to catch the majority of what you do through the truth of God and let that be your strength. Right? The gift of God is so awesome. He's so gracious and patient. I mentioned this the other day. I think my sins between the time I became a Christian and now are equal, if not greater, than my sins prior. And I suspect that that will just add on as time goes by. And the Lord still loves me. He still chose me. He still decided, hey, I want this spoon guy. I don't know if my name was Spoon. We don't even know what the name was. They had to change the name to get in the country. Who knows? Do you think I care? Nope. I just know I'm a child of the Most High God. That's where the identity needs to lie. And I think what happens is we'll go through a lot, and I've done this, and I don't know if you guys do this or not. I should be careful saying that everybody does this. I don't know that that's true or not. But I have a tendency to do reflection, and sometimes that reflection can be really bad, especially if I just had like two or three tacos, and then I reflect on how I shouldn't have had two or three tacos. Do you ever do that? You ever eat something? Not a good meal.
I'm not talking about a good meal.
I'm not talking about a great steak. I'm not talking about a fantastic hamburger. I'm kind of talking about fast food. Shouldn't have had that Big Mac, fries, apple pie, the soda, and then the extra little hamburger. I probably didn't need that. And then a couple of nuggets. Probably shouldn't have had that whole list, right? And then you know what we say? Can I be honest? You know what we say? We say, if only I had gone to Arby's. No, if only I had gone to the gym instead. You're not the only person that says, if only. I'm not the only person that says it. There's a problem when we do it, and here's what I want to talk about. There was no water for the congregation. They assembled themselves against Moses and Aaron. The people thus contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Do you know what they're saying? This is in Numbers chapter 20, verse 2 through 3. They're saying, gosh, if only we had died when all those other people died, the easy way to die. Because now things are hard. And if only... And there's a problem with that phrase. And you can examine yourself. You don't need somebody else to... If you want to have accountability, ask somebody to help you. But you can examine it yourself. When you start saying, if only, you're looking back with regret in such a manner that's not only mostly sinful, but mostly dumb. Why, if only God had done this, if only this person would have done this, if only, if only, if only. You know, that's where that saying comes from. If ifs and buts were candies and nuts, it'd be Christmas every day. Well, that's fantastic. But that the ifs and buts are not candies and nuts. And the bottom line is walking around thinking, if only, if only, if I'd only said this, if I'd only done this. That's not a way to walk. Let me tell you something that is amazing about the past. Ready? Ready? You can't change it. See, there's nothing you can do about it. Yeah, I don't care how smart you are. You can't change what was. And to look back and sit there and beat yourself up because you could have done something better, you and every other person on the face of the earth. You know people that say, well, when I die, I'm not going to have any regrets. Really? I've got about 50 billion of them. And it starts with every sin I've ever committed against God because I know it breaks his heart when I sin. And I regret that. Now, I also walk in the grace and forgiveness of God. But I don't sit there. I don't have to flower out my life. It's great. I have a fantastic life because God loves me. It's cool enough. And he saved me. I can't even count how many times he's probably saved my life physically as well as spiritually. And it's like, look, I there's a lot of things but I can't change them. And I'm not going to sit there and dwell in it. And I'm not going to sit there and stew in it. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to look backwards and go, ah. Remember what Jesus said about Lot's wife? Remember Lot's wife. Why? What'd she do? She looked back.
She looked back on something that God was wiping out. I was like, don't look back. Let it go. Philippians 3:13. Now, I know it's not perfect in context, but the principle is there. Dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. You know what you can do about the past? Nothing. But you can look forward. You need to replace that if only with next time. Yeah, I didn't invent that, but it's great stuff. So instead of saying if only, which is looking backwards with regret, you say next time, which is looking forward with faith. How is that a bad thing? Next time it's going to be like this. Why? Because I'm smarter because of the dumb thing I did before. That's not bad. That's good. Don't live in the if only. Live in the next time. That's the place you want to be. Okay? All right. Let's close it out with prayer. Father, we come before you right now, and we worship and we praise you. You are so good to us. We don't even recognize how good you are to us. That's for sure. And all the praise we could give you, both now and for all eternity, will never really match the greatness that you are. We just thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. And that Jesus, in your sacrifice for us, you not only died for us, you're interceding for us. And we are appreciative of your gift of sacrifice and the love you have. And Holy Spirit, we're sorry we grieve you and sorry that we quench you. It's ridiculous that we're so afraid of you. It's terrible. So, Father, we come before you, and we just ask that all the good things, Father, that have come to us throughout this whole week, just the whole week, all of those good things, that they would stay with us, that they would become a part of us, that you would weave them into us, and they would become a part of our walk. And all the things that we've heard throughout the week, be they guised as spiritual or political or whatever, that they would have no impact, no bearing on our spirit and on our walk with you. And that by your grace, by your love, by your mercy, of which you are rich in mercy, we would go forward and we would rejoice and look forward to the day that you return. A glorious, glorious day. Let us hear the trumpet, the sooner the better, Lord. We bless and praise you in all things and pray these things in Jesus' name. Glory to you. Amen and amen. Okay, people, that's another week done on the David Spoon Experience. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 71-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.